Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Bob DeVito is a member of the WAPJ family of volunteer broadcasters. From 2006 to 2009, his program, Footlights and Spotlights, shed a light on the world of arts and culture in Northwest Connecticut, focusing on show tunes, community theater, and cultural events. In 2012, he was diagnosed with breast cancer. As a cancer survivor, he is an advocate for cancer screenings and cancer awareness, and he brings his message about upcoming events, such as Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Walks this October. There are walks October 22nd, which is a Sunday, in Bridgeport, New London County, and in Litchfield County. Also, there is a walk on October 29th in Hartford County and Greater Waterbury. He is what I would call an ambassador of the Real Men Wear Pink initiative by the American Cancer Society. We hope you enjoy this very special chat with Bob DeVito here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome to WAPJ, or should I say, welcome back to WAPJ, Bob DeVito.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure being here, and it's a pleasure seeing the studio space here. It's been a few years.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years. You were on the air with the Miscellaneous Morning Show with Barry Asusi, correct?
Yes. He interviewed me about shortly after I was diagnosed and chatted about that part of the journey, and you know, here I am 5 years later and doing well.
Well, welcome back. I'm very glad that you are here to talk to us today about your history at WAPJ and about your mission. You are definitely, as I said, an ambassador to this very important cause of awareness. Breast cancer awareness is not just for women. It is an initiative that says real men wear pink. Their breast cancer is there should be awareness for men as well as for women.
Exactly. That yeah, certainly I was caught kind of off guard when I was diagnosed. I think probably in the back of my mind, I knew that men could get breast cancer. In fact, I had known somebody who had breast cancer, and I thought it was just one in a million. It's a little less than that, but. Yeah, and there I was 5 years ago with the diagnosis. It was certainly a life-altering experience.
I'm absolutely assured of that. If I would like to find out from you, from your perspective, because it could help other listeners who may have that same feeling that you had back then, that, oh, this is must be a one-in-a-million thing, never can happen to me. So how did you identify for yourself that there was an issue that eventually turned into that was breast cancer?
Well, I was diagnosed in 2012, several years earlier, and I don't know how many years earlier. I really probably should have checked with my family physician for the information, but several years earlier, I had found that there was a little pea-sized lump just above my left nipple. He said, well, it's probably nothing. It's probably a little cyst. You're a bigger guy. You got a little bit of the band boob going on, a little gynecomastia. We'll keep an eye on it. And, when I wasn't one to go to the doctor with every sniffle, so, time passed and I changed jobs, had been, gone through the outsourcing process. I was in the IT field, so seemed like every 5 or 6 years I was with a company that was outsourcing. So I was on Cobra and then off Cobra and had no insurance and, got, another job and had insurance. I finally went back to the doctor actually for a sick visit. But about 2 weeks before that sick visit, I had an ear infection. More of ear blockage than infection, but regardless, I had been in the shower and I was lathering up and I lathered up my left armpit and I noticed that one of my lymph nodes had swelled to the about the size of a ping pong ball. And knowing that my mom had had breast cancer and that we have a heavy history of cancer in the family, I will admit that I started to kind of cry in the shower as I'm lathering up, saying, well, this doesn't seem right. But again, trying to quickly dismiss the worst from my head. And so I went to that sick visit, and my doctor at the time, he was a preceptor for med students from Yale. And so he had two students with him and a student nurse. They were all in a small exam room with one of those old-fashioned big chrome syringes that they were irrigating my ear with. And I just happened to remember the lump and said to him, you know, gee, doc, I said, what about that lump? I said, it's gotten bigger. Totally forgot about the armpit thing. But it's gotten bigger and it's kind of misshapen, you know, underneath. And, you know, it hurts to the touch. He said, well, let's take a look. So off comes the shirt. And I heard him mumble to one of the med students that I had an inverted nipple, which I hadn't noticed. And he said, well, we need to get you looked at. So I want you to go to see, get a mammogram and an ultrasound down the street at the hospital. And this was down in Derby, Griffin Hospital. So we went off to their breast center and had a mammogram and an ultrasound, excuse me, about a week later. And, you know, the mammogram was really nothing. I know women complain that, you know, it hurts, and I'm sure it does. For a man, there's even less tissue, so it was uncomfortable, but wasn't as painful, I don't think. And then I went over across the hall to the ultrasound suite, and the tech was examining, you know, my chest with the ultrasound head, and she was trying to get a good angle around the nipple to see the lump. And the, you know, she kind of had this concerned look on her face, I guess would be a good term for it. So after about 15 minutes or so of, you know, doing the ultrasound, she went out and she brought back the female radiologist, who then proceeded to do another ultrasound, another, you know, 15 minutes or so, again, trying to get around the nipple to get a good visualization on what it was. And, you know, at that point I was kind of looking up at her and looked, I guess, concerned and fearful. And she had said, what's the matter? And I said, well, you're looking at a potential tumor and I'm a little scared. And she said, oh, and, you know, didn't have the greatest bedside manner. I'll just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. And she continued. And at the end, she said, well, I'm going to call. I know it's 4:30 or so. You know, I'm going to call your doctor's office anyway. They may be closed, but I want them to, you know, get the results right away. So I got a follow-up phone call a few days later from my doctor saying that I want you to see a surgeon also in the same breast cancer facility and have him take a look at you. So off we went to the, you know, appointment to see him. And he says, well, I'm going to want to do a biopsy. And I said, well, all right, well, when do you want to schedule that for? And he said, well, no, we're going to do it right now. And I remember telling him, well, I'm not exactly psyched up for a medical procedure right now, but yeah, okay. So he did a punch biopsy of the tumor. And then he also did a fine needle aspiration of the suspect lymph nodes. There were two lymph nodes that they thought maybe, you know, may be an issue. So he did a fine needle aspiration from those and sent those off. That was on a Wednesday. That Friday, we were just coming out of Walmart. And, yeah, I was putting stuff away and the phone rings, you know, getting it into the car. I said, you know, hold on, doctor. And then he said, well, it's not good news. You have breast cancer. And I started to cry and, you know, my world kind of collapsed around me that day. And, you know, he went on to talk about, you know, procedure and what he might do, and he wanted me to come in the following Tuesday, and you know, his voice kind of faded into that Charlie Brown Peanuts teacher voice, you know, wah, wah, right. wah, wah, wah. So I tuned back yep. in as quickly as I could, and he had his office staff call me about 20 minutes later to make the appointment for the following week.
Well, we're going to get into the next step of that journey, which is the treatment and then the recovery of that in the next segment. We're going to be right back with this very special episode, speaking with Bob DeVito here on Nutmeg Chatter. Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. I'm speaking here with Bob DeVito. Bob DeVito was a broadcaster for WAPJ for a number of years. He covered some of the same ground that now I cover on Nutmeg Chatter. He did programs that celebrated the community theater and the local arts community. In 2012, however, he was diagnosed with breast cancer. In the first segment, we discovered how he discovered that he had breast cancer. It clearly is a story of being aware of yourself and your body, and also recognizing when something is not right. And even though there is a tendency to kind of dismiss things and to kind of put it to the side and say, hey, that can't be me or that can't be an issue, this is something that you recognized. And then you spoke up, and you spoke up at a time when you're visiting the doctor for some other ailment. And had you not done that, then they would not have known or recognized the issue then. But identifying an issue now or early, that's very important to having successful treatment. Would that be a fair assessment?
Oh, it certainly is. Certainly, it's your early detection and diagnosis certainly is a plus. You know, as I mentioned in the previous segment, it had been probably several years before I mentioned to my doctor that there was a change. And I hadn't really even thought about it much, and just happened to think about it at that point. And, you know, and there I was. I was diagnosed actually after the biopsy came back, and that I had stage 3A male breast cancer. And I mean, breast cancer is breast cancer, male or female. There's some differing opinion on whether male breast cancer is different than female, but you know, we are treated just like women are.
Mm-hmm. And what was the treatment regimen? What was the way that the doctors addressed this? And were there any recommendations or things that you yourself had to do within this treatment besides just to make sure that your body could fight the cancer?
Well, I, you know, after I saw the initial surgeon, it was a Friday afternoon, as I said earlier, that I found out. So it was a weekend. I did a lot of research on the internet, did a lot of crying. I found my way to a question sheet for, you know, what to ask your doctor before surgery and, you know, at the time of surgery and then, you know, following up to surgery. And one of those questions was getting a second opinion, which I definitely wanted. And so I asked him, you know, who he would recommend. And he recommended one of, you know, of any three of the doctors in the Southbury, Waterbury area. So it was much closer to home. So I chose one off the list, and I called the office and told them I had just been diagnosed. And they booked me in immediately for a follow-up. And, I went there for a 5 o'clock appointment, after work hours, so there was no rush. And I was there till 8:45. She had done her own ultrasound. She had laid out, what treatment plan she felt would be best. She had, one of four options. And she would, draw little pictures of, your chest and the breast and things that, happen, and showed me a 3D model of the breast and, where my tumor was and all that. And, so we, and then she also wouldn't let me get out the door without doing the BRCA testing. The BRCA1 and 2 gene is, key in breast cancer assessment. If you have siblings, they want to know that, if you have the gene, then maybe they have the gene, or a parent could have a gene mutation. So they did a quick blood test, one vial of blood, and off that went. The next day, they had the whole schedule laid out for me as far as surgery and follow-up appointment and, okay, you're going to do blood work this day and you're going to show up at the hospital this day and they'll call you with a time. And, they just made it very easy. And I said, gee, didn't you guys get any sleep last night? I said, I was just here till 8:45 last night and here it is like 11 a.m. and, you're probably not even on your second cup of coffee yet. You've got all this laid out for me very nicely. So the treatment regimen for me was that they would do a radical mastectomy, which means removal of the nipple and the breast tissue and the surrounding area to get clean margins. But before they did the mastectomy, they do a sentinel node biopsy. They inject the blue dye into your lymph system. Let that circulate, they do the mastectomy, and then they examine the underarm surgically, and any lymph node that lights up blue is attracted to the cancer, so they know that that's an issue. And then they basically, fish around for other nodes that, are firm and hard or feel like they may be cancerous, and they remove however many they feel they need to remove. In my case, it was 14 lymph nodes, 7 tested positive for cancer, which made me stage 3A at that point. And I was in the hospital for 2 days. And then I had been scheduled already for radiation, for chemotherapy and radiation at subsequent appointments. The regimen for me was 6 rounds of chemotherapy once every 3 weeks. It was called aggressive chemotherapy. They were giving me three drugs at each visit, one right after the other, Adriamycin, Cytoxan, and Taxotere. And then they gave me about a month off, and then I had 25 daily doses of what they called generous radiation to kill any other cancer cells that might be lurking. And it wiped me out. I mean, it,
Right.
shoots your, immune system to heck. And, I did lots of sleeping and,
And recovery, and as your body tried to deal with the chemotherapy as it is dealing with the cancer. Now, when were you diagnosed as a cancer free?
Well, technically, once she did the surgery, that immediate crisis was over. So technically, I guess you want to call it cancer-free. Although they do follow you, every 3 months, 6 months, 9 months as you go through your journey. I'm 5 years out now, thankfully.
Congratulations. That's
Thank
such a
you.
wonderful, that's one wonderful result.
Yes. Each time I go in, I go once a year for a mammogram. And then she does an ultrasound each time I'm there, and
So there's always follow-up just to make sure, because at just as early detection is so very important, then comes the follow-up to make sure that any early detection of anything, God forbid, that it that it could come back, which hopefully it will not. But you can always have that continued follow up to make sure that that's best for your health.
You really do need to follow up, you know. And men typically don't go to the doctor, you know, unless they're absolutely, you know, dying. So
congratulations on being cancer free and for fighting it and being a cancer survivor. That is such a wonderful result. When we come back in our third segment, I'd like to talk about some of the events that are going to be coming up. Thank you for sharing your story. Now I'd like to talk about some of the things that are coming up in the community that people can do to be a part of this community and to support this community. So we're going to be back in just a few moments here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. I'm speaking with Bob DeVito. Bob DeVito is a cancer survivor. Due to early detection, they were able to successfully treat the breast cancer that Bob DeVito was diagnosed with. He is now 5 years cancer-free, so very, very happy for him on that. And now he is an ambassador, if you will, to share with the community different events that people can bring more awareness to the American Cancer Society and different ways that people can participate in this. Now, we talked at the very beginning about this idea of making strides against breast cancer. That's a walk. Tell me about that.
All right. Making Strides is held every October. And it is American Cancer Society's way to raise awareness of breast cancer, also to celebrate survivors and to remember those we've lost to breast cancer. It is a wonderful event, lots of fun. They will do a survivor's lap initially. They'll do an opening ceremony, and then they'll do a survivor lap, and then they'll do a caregiver lap with the survivors, and then everybody else joins in. It's a wonderful, you know, it's a wonderful event. We have a couple of walks coming up right here in Litchfield County at White Memorial Conservation Center in Litchfield.
And that's a beautiful area to take a walk regardless, but this is now to be able to go there for such a worthy cause.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then we have one coming up. You have the Litchfield County event is October 22nd, a Sunday, and then October 29th, right in Library Park in Waterbury.
Absolutely.
There's a walk. That walk is now, I believe, 3 years old. We're doing wonderful things, you know, down there as well with the walk, raising awareness, raising money for research. You know, drugs like tamoxifen, which is what I'm on now. It's an anti-estrogen medication that you had been on for 5 years. The recent recommendations are to keep you on a 10-year regimen. And because there's very little research or clinical studies on men, we are treated just like women. So, you know, lucky me, I get to take tamoxifen too, with hot flashes and all. And the walks, I will give you an exclusive right here on WAPJ. I'm scheduled to be the survivor speaker for the Waterbury Walk on the 29th of October.
Wow, congratulations.
So thank you. So I'll be able to be at the opening ceremony and share a little of my story before the walk begins. And then they cut the ribbon and everybody takes a beautiful walk around downtown Waterbury, and during that walk especially, I mean, there's so much beautiful architecture in downtown Waterbury that you tend to miss. And so you get to walk and see all the great old buildings and just enjoy it with friends and family. And the idea is to raise, money, of course, ahead of time.
Right. So these walks are being able to be used as a fundraiser to assist the American Cancer Society. And there's a website that people can go online at makingstrideswalk.org. That's makingstrideswalk.org. And so if somebody goes on to that website, they'll be able to find information about walks in their area, and they
Sure.
can learn more about it.
Sure. And there are other walks on the 22nd. Not only is Litchfield having a walk, but Bridgeport down at Seaside Park, and New London County is having one up at Rocky Neck State Park in East Lyme. And then on the 29th, not only is Waterbury having their walk, but there's the Hartford Walk up at Bushnell Park. So anybody can find those walks, sign up, raise funds.
Or they can call. There's a phone number to call, which is 1-800-227-2345. And people can find out more information about Making Strides Walk. And if they go to the one in Greater Waterbury, you'll be the featured speaker there for that particular walk.
Sure. And that phone number that you gave is also an information center. So if you have questions about any types of cancers, the American Cancer Society not only funds research, but they provide rides to appointments for treatment. They have something, Look Good, Feel Better for women. They give you a nice pouch of makeup and hair care products and all sorts of things in there for the women, so they can feel better about themselves. Especially the chemo not only kills your immune system, it's killing any rapidly dividing cells. So your taste buds, your hair follicles, so you lose your hair and you feel pretty crummy. So they do that. They do so many good things, with the money they raise.
So once again, I'm going to give the website for that. The website for that is makingstrideswalk.org. And the phone number is 1-800-227-2345. Bob DeVito, thank you for coming in to sharing your story to not just beating cancer, being a cancer survivor, which is so very important, but then going out and sharing the message so that others can do the same. Others can keep that in their minds so that they can find early detection for themselves should that be their issue, and then be able to be cancer survivors as well. Thank you for coming into WAPJ. I hope it won't be another 4 years or so before you come in again. I encourage you to come on in again, and because you are a part of the WAPJ family.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Nutmeg Chatter is a production of WAPJ Torrington Community Radio. Some of the music has been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube Royalty Free Music, so we thank them for that. Please stay tuned for more music on WAPJ. We thank you for listening to Nutmeg Chatter. We hope you enjoyed the chat.